It is the 19th of July, 2015, and this is episode 19 of the Visual Storyteller podcast. My name is Roger Overall. I am a visual storyteller, and today I'm going to talk about, well, I wasn't really going to talk about business because I'm trying to take the week off, and I thought, well, if I have a daily podcast and I keep talking about business on the daily podcast, then it's actually going to drag my mind back to business every single day. So I thought, you know what, I'll forgo that and I'll just do the fitness part of the podcast. But then I had an experience today and I thought, well, that would fit into the business part of the podcast. And you know what, I'll forget it otherwise. So let me tell you about it. Let me explain what happened. So yesterday I did a cartoon for James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy, who is doing 50 Ironman triathlon distances in 50 days, 50 consecutive days, I should point out, in 50 different US states. And I did a cartoon because he was feeling particularly low yesterday. In Iowa, the conditions were really tough. And while he was doing the cycle leg of his triathlon there, he was feeling quite low. So I thought, well, I'll do a cartoon and maybe he'll see it and maybe it will give him a lift. Well, I can report to you now that I paused there briefly because I have to consider my words here, because I don't know that he didn't see it. What I do know is he didn't acknowledge it, but I'm fairly sure he didn't see the cartoon, because I placed the cartoon in my Instagram feed and Twitter as well. Now, the problem with those two feeds is that if you get a lot of feedback on a photograph that you post or an image that you post up in Instagram, and you get a lot of feedback and a lot of likes, then if somebody makes a comment, that's what I'm trying to say. If somebody makes a comment or a like, that can get just lost in this torrent of likes. It's really not very visible at all as you scroll through it on your phone. So let alone that somebody has drawn a cartoon, referenced you, which will show up in your feed of likes and interaction, if you like. But of course, if you've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these things popping up in your feeds in terms of likes, with people liking your own photographs, and then somebody draws a cartoon and references you so that it pops up in your feed, it's kind of unlikely that you're going to see it, because there's so much noise going on in that feed. So I'm kind of unsurprised. I'm not surprised that there was no response from James and his team, and clearly not from James, because he's far too busy. I mean, he's running and swimming and cycling for a total of about 12 to, I think the longest one he did was 17 hours. Can you imagine 17 hours? So that poor man has got plenty on his plate, and he's got a support team around him who also, by the way, have got loads on their plate. So Instagram is not a great place for this cartoon to have popped up in, for them to have actually seen it. Much better would have been Facebook, because Facebook is, as far as I can tell, where James is most active. Now, the issue with Facebook is I'm not on Facebook. I do not have a Facebook account. So here I am trying to connect with James by creating a cartoon for him, and it's failed. And the reason it's failed is because I haven't gone to his most comfortable platform, the platform where he does most of his interaction and the platform where he sees most of the support that he gets. And whose fault is that? Well, it's my fault, really. I should have taken the cartoon to a platform where the chances of him seeing it were enhanced. I should have looked at him and said, okay, what would suit James best? And in fact, that's what Show and Tell is all about, my new company. We reverse engineer all the messages for our clients. And we say, well, it's all very well you have a message and you have something to say, but how would your audience like to receive that? What's going to appeal to them? And most importantly, what is going to have value for them? And where are they in terms of platforms? How can you best reach them? So I've actually transgressed, or I've actually gone against one of my own rules. So I'm not surprised. But we do that in business, I think. I think when it comes to marketing, And I have to be a little bit careful when it comes to creatives, because what I don't want is for people to get the impression that I'm saying you need to suppress your own creativity when it comes to your output, when it comes to what it is that you do, be it a photographer, a painter, an illustrator, whatever, because that's not what I'm saying. But when it comes to marketing and trying to connect with an audience, we need to bear in mind, where are they? What do they want to hear? What do they need to hear? And what is useful for them to hear? Then we're going to be able to make that connection. So just a small business learning, if anything, for myself today. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Come in, sit down. I need to talk to you about something serious. You and I need to have a talk. And it's about clothing. The clothing that people wear when they run and when they cycle. Certainly round about where I live. I'll tell you what the most popular colour is for people. Black. And I think it's because black is allegedly slimming. I don't know. But of course, black also makes you not very visible at all. And I find that very surprising. I mean, suppose runners will say, well, we run on the pavements. And even if you have pavements, because around where I live, pavements sort of materialize and then vanish again at their own whim, it seems. They kind of decide when they want to appear themselves and when they want to vanish. But even if you are running on a pavement, it can still be a good idea for people to be able to see you. And black is not a great colour if you want to be seen. So people coming out of driveways, out of car parks, out of side streets, you know, you're going to be crossing over the road maybe as you're running. And it's just a really good idea for motorists to be able to see you. Black is not a good idea. Yet it seems to be the most common colour I see people wearing when they're out and about. Me, I wear this ridiculous blousy, it's like a balloon of a jacket, but it's a running jacket, and it's very light, but it's bright yellow, fluorescent yellow, and that's what I run in because I want to be seen, quite frankly. Even if it's bright sunshine, daylight, I want to be seen. I'll wear something red, or I will wear this jacket. I would prefer that people can see me from a long way away rather than when they're on top of me, or when they first notice me is when I've bounced off their windshield because I've been wearing black. Cyclists also wear a lot of black, and they don't even have the luxury of saying they cycle on the pavement, although an alarming number of them do. But so they're out on the road, they're sharing the road, and they're wearing black as well, or very muted colours. And I just think, my God, is that why they wear helmets? Because, you know, it's because otherwise it's laughable, isn't it? Why would you wear a helmet if you're going to wear dark colours? You know, is that the reason? Because you know you're going to get hit. It strikes me as a very, very strange thing to want to do, to wear often skin tight. But that's a whole other conversation about the number of people who seriously should not be wearing skin tight clothing. But myself included, by the way, I do not exclude myself from this group of people who should not be allowed to wear skin tight clothing. But black, I mean, I know it's slimming, but God, it's not going to be as slimming as a coffin, is it? Because believe you me, wear a coffin for a while and the weight will just disintegrate off you. It really will. So anyway, I was thinking, well, what would be a better solution? A better solution would be if we all wore Ian Poulter golfing gear. That would be what we should wear. Because, I mean, it makes your eyes water, but my God, you can see the man. And then I thought, well, do you know, those clothing designs, those golf clothing designs perpetrated by golf clothing manufacturers in the 80s and the 90s, we should go back to that. That's what we should wear as runners and cyclists, because we'll be seen. It's safe. It's safety clothing. I can't imagine why it's safety clothing out on a golf course, but certainly if we were to wear it, we'd be bright, we'd be seen, we'd look like harlequins, we'd be absolutely visible. So maybe that's the way to go. Just some thoughts on what would be sensible running gear. Anyway, I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. Oh, the cartoon. I should tell you about the cartoon. Today's cartoon is a panel, and it's split in two. And above both halves of the panel, it says "Spot the Runner." And one half of the panel is completely black. The other half of the panel is a runner who's doing his utmost to be seen. He is wearing a pair of shorts that is made from 1970s, 1980s golfing gear. He's got a bright orange shirt on, but that's not enough. He also has a red tail light. He has a automated megaphone on the front that is going whoop, whoop, whoop as he runs. And to top it all off, he has his own portable lighting rig that he's carrying on his back. And out of it comes a pole with a massive lamp on it that is shedding a huge amount of light on him. Maybe that's how we should go running. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.